The National Broadcasting Company and its series Great Plays presents Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov. The plays of Chekhov are noted for their realism, their attention to minute details, their lack of climaxes and crises. Character rather than plot is the major element. His plays are for the most part somber in tone, his characters sad, resigned, frustrated. Chekhov gives us a perfect example of static drama. His characters are tragic, not because of what they have done, but because of what they have left undone. Such are the people we meet in Three Sisters. And now we bid you listen to our story as told by Irina, the youngest of the three sisters.
I remember a day in May in the year of our Lord, 1899. It was my saint's day. We were living in the town of Ustersen, many, many miles from Moscow, whence we'd come some 11 years before, when my father, Brigadier General Prozorov, was sent to command the military garrison. I hated Ustersen. It was a drab, provincial town, and its people seemed dull and stupid. Even more so since our father had died the year before, leaving us two sisters and our brother Andrei. Only the friendship of several of the officers from the garrison made life bearable. But on this particular day, my heart was light, lifted by some indefinable hope. Perhaps it was the feel of spring in the warm air outside. The three of us were in the drawing room of our apartment. Olga, my older sister, in her blue uniform of a teacher in the girls' high school, was busy correcting school papers. Masha, my married sister, sat with her hat upon her knees reading a book. Her husband, Fyodor Kuligin, was expected later, together with a few of our friends who were coming to honor my saint's day. Old Aunt Fisa, our nurse, was helping to set the table for luncheon in the dining room beyond. I remember Olga was speaking.
Father died just a year ago today, on the 5th of May. Your saint's day, Irina. It was raining then. Heavy rain and snow.
Why think of it?
It's warm today. We can keep the windows wide open. But the birches haven't any leaves yet. I remember distinctly that early in May, at this very time in Moscow, everything is in bloom. It's warm. Everything is bathed in sunshine. Oh, God, I woke up this morning, saw a flood of light, saw the spring, and my heart leaped with joy. I did long passionately to go home again. Don't whistle, Marcia. How can you do that? I'm at the high school every day giving lessons till evening. That's why my head aches all the time. What thoughts I have might just as well belong to an old woman and be done with it. These 4 years I've been teaching in high school, I've felt my strength and youth going out of me day by day, drop by drop. And just one dream grows stronger and stronger.
To go to Moscow. Sell the house, wind up everything here, and to Moscow.
Yes, soon to Moscow.
Brother Andrei will be a professor, very likely, but all the same, he won't live here. The one thing that stops us is poor Masha.
Masha will be coming to Moscow for the whole summer every year.
God grant it all works out. The weather is beautiful today. I don't know why my heart's so light.
Oh, you look radiant today, lovelier than ever. And Masha's lovely, too. Andrei would be good-looking if he hadn't got so heavy. Not becoming to him. But I've grown older. A lot thinner. It must be because I get cross with the girls. Now I'm free today, and I'm here at home. My head's not aching. I feel younger than yesterday. I'm only 28. It's all good. All God's will. But it seems to me, if I'd married and stayed at home all day long, it would have been better. I'd have loved my husband.
Poor Olga, worn with the petty monotony of her unending work, dreaming of the remembered gaiety of Moscow left far behind, and longing for the husband she did not have.
And there sat Marcia, bored and discontented with the husband she did have. The unimaginative, pedantic high school teacher, Fyodor Kulikin. Marcia, pretending to read a book in which he was not interested. The joy in my heart with which I'd awakened that day was fast beginning to ebb, when fortunately some of our expected friends arrived. Baron Nikolai Tusenbach, a lieutenant in the army, and his constant companion, Captain Vasily Solyonin. I liked Baron Tusenbach. His plain face always wore a friendly smile. But I secretly feared Captain Solyonin, because I could not understand him. He was so bitter and sardonic. Behind them, sat dear old Dr. Ivantia Butikin, who lived in the apartment the floor below us. He was scanning his ever-present newspaper as he came, while Baron Tusenbach and Captain Solyonin were in the middle of one of their constant arguments.
With one hand, I can lift only 50 pounds, but with both, 180, or even 200 pounds. From this, I conclude that two men are not twice as strong as one, but three times, even more.
You talk such nonsense that I'm tired of listening to you. Ah, Irina, my congratulations upon your saint's day.
Thank you, Nikolai.
And I congratulate you, Olga and Marcia, for having such a charming sister.
Oh, thank you.
I'm afraid my lush friend Tissenbach has used up all the pretty words, but I wish you well, though I prefer to leave the problematical saint out of it.
Thank you, Captain Solyonin. I'm sure... Dear Dr. Ivan, can't you forsake your old newspaper for a second and wish me well, too?
My dear child, of course.
Oh, I have news for you all.
Oh, tell us, Nikolai.
Today you will receive a call from our new battery commander, Vershinin.
Will?
I'll be very glad of it.
Is he old?
No, not very. 40 or 45 at most. He seems a nice chap. Not stupid, that's certain. Except that he talks a lot.
Is he an interesting person?
Yes, quite. Only there's a wife, a mother-in-law, and two girls. Oh. What's more, he's married for the second time. He pays calls and everywhere says that he has a wife and two girls. And they'll say so here. The wife is sort of half crazy, wears long girlish braids, speaks only of lofty matters, philosophizes, and often tries to commit suicide. Obviously to plague the husband. I'd have left such a woman long ago, but he puts up with her and merely complains.
Dr. Ivan, will you put that newspaper down and pay more attention to me?
It says here, for 40 years, 2 ounces of naphthalene to half a bottle of spirits. Dissolve and use daily. I must put that down in my notebook.
Ivan Romanis, dear Ivan Romanis.
What is it? What is it, my child, my sweet?
Tell me, why am I so happy today? This morning when I awoke, it seemed all at once that everything in this world was clear to me, and I knew how one must live. A man must work, he must toil by the sweat of his brow, no matter who he is. And all the meaning and aim of his life, his happiness, his ecstasies must lie in this only. Well, next to being a man, it's better to be an ox. It's better to be a common horse if only you do some work. And be a young woman who wakes up at 12 o'clock, has coffee in bed, and then dresses for 2 hours. Oh, but that's dreadful.
My father trained us to get up at 7. Now Irina wakes at 7 and lies there till at least 9 thinking and looking so serious.
You're usually thinking of me as a little girl, so it seems strange to you when I look serious. I'm 20 years old.
Longing for work. Oh, my God, how I understand that. I have never worked in my life. I was born in Petersburg, cold, idle Petersburg, in a family that never knew any sort of work or worry. I was shielded from work. Though I doubt if they succeeded in shielding me, I doubt it. The time has come. Something tremendous is hovering over us all. A vast healing storm is gathering. It's coming. It's near already and will soon clear our society of the laziness, the indifference, the prejudice against work, the rotten boredom. I'll work. And in another 25 or 30 years, every man will be working. Everyone.
25 years from now, you won't even be on Earth, thank God. In 2 or 3 years, you'll die of distemper. I'll forget myself and put a bullet in your forehead, my angel.
Why, Captain Solyonin.
I shan't work.
Oh, you don't count.
And I really never did anything since I left the university. I haven't lifted a finger. Not read a single book even, but just read the newspapers. Listen, I know from the newspaper that there was, let's say, an author named Dubeluba. But what he wrote about, I don't know. God only knows. Oh, listen, they're calling me from downstairs. Somebody's come to see me. I'll come right back. Wait.
He's up to something?
Yes. He left with a triumphant face. Obviously, he will now bring you a present.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, it's awful. He always does something childish.
There's a curved seashore, a green oak, a golden chain upon that oak.
You're not very merry today, Marcia.
No, I'm not.
You're going? Where to?
Home? Well, that's strange.
To leave a Saints' Day party?
Well, same. I'll come this evening. Goodbye, Arena, my pretty. I wish you once again good health and happiness. Oh, when Father was alive, 30 or 40 officers used to come to our birthday parties. It was good and noisy. But nowadays, there's only a man and a half, and it's as quiet as the desert. Oh, I'm going. I've got the blues today. I feel depressed. Don't listen to me.
Oh, you are such a...
I understand, Marcia.
If a man philosophizes, it'll be philosophy or sophistry. But if a woman philosophizes, or two women, it'll be like pulling teeth.
You're a dreadful person, Captain. What are you trying to say?
Nothing. Quick as a flash, the bear made a dash.
Bring it in here.
Look, what did I tell you? Here comes our Dr. Ivan and his orderly behind him, bearing a silver samovar.
A samovar? This is terrible.
Darling, he's run your mind. What are you doing?
I told you so.
I brought you a little gift, Irina.
Ivan Romanich, you're simply shameless.
Oh, my darling, oh, my good little one. You're all I have. To me, you're everything that's most precious in the world. I'm only 60. I'm an old man, a lonely, worthless old man. There's nothing good about me but this love for you. And if it weren't for you, I'd long ago stop living in this world. My dear Irina, my little child, I've known you since the day you were born. I carried you in my arms. I love your dear mother.
But why such expensive presents?
Expensive presents? Why, you take them quickly. Carry the samovar in there, the dining room. Expensive presents.
Yes, Anfisa? What is it?
My dears, there's a colonel, a stranger. He has already taken off his overcoat, children, and is coming in here. Ernushna, now be a nice, polite girl. And it was time for lunch long ago.
It must be Vershinin.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, it is. Lieutenant Colonel Vershinin.
Dear ladies, I have the honor to introduce myself. Vershinin. I'm very, very glad that at last I'm in your house. Ah, how you've grown.
Please sit down. We're delighted.
How glad I am. How glad I am. Yes, your three sisters. I remember three girls. Your faces I don't remember now, but your father, Colonel Prozorov, had three little girls. I remember that perfectly. I saw them with my own eyes. How time does pass. How time does pass.
Colonel Vershinin is from Moscow.
From Moscow? You are from Moscow?
Yes. I was at school in Moscow. I began my service in Moscow. I served there a long time. I was finally assigned a battery here. I moved here, as you see. I don't remember you, as a matter of fact, but only that you were three sisters. Your father is fresh in my memory. I can close my eyes now and see him, plain as light.
You're from Moscow. What a surprise.
We're going to move there, you know.
We think by autumn we'll be there. It's our native town. We were born there, in Old Basmani Street.
Oh, Old Basmani.
Oh, unexpectedly to see a fellow countryman.
Now, I remember. Do you remember, Olga? At our house, they used to say the lovesick maid. You were a lieutenant then and in love with someone, and they all teased you for some reason as the lovesick major.
That's right. The lovesick major, that was it.
Oh, but you had only a mustache then. How much older you look. Beard. How much older you look.
Yes. When they called me the lovesick major, I was still young. I was in love. Not so now.
But you still haven't a single gray hair. You look older, but you're still not old.
For all that, I'm in my 43rd year. Is it long since you left Moscow?
11 years. But why are you crying, Masha, you little fool? I'm starting to cry, too.
Oh. All right. In what street did you live?
In Old Basmani.
You lived there, too?
Yeah. At one time, I lived in Nemetsky Street.
Oh?
I used to walk from Nemetsky Street to the barracks. Ah, there's a sullen-looking bridge on the way. And under the bridge, you can hear the water roaring. A lonely man feels sick at heart there. Ah, but here, what a broad, what a superb river, a wonderful river.
Yes, except that it's cold. It's cold here, and there are mosquitoes.
Ah, how can you? You've such a fine, healthy Russian climate here. Woods, river, and birches, too. Sweet, modest birches of all trees. I love them best. Ah, it's good to live here. And yet, strangely enough, the railway station is 13 miles away. Nobody knows why that is.
But I know why it is.
Yes?
Because if the station were right here, then it were not off there. If it's off there, then it's not right here.
Well,
You're a joker, Vasily Vasilyevich.
Oh, now I remember you. I remember.
I knew your mother.
She was a lovely woman. That's her soul.
Mother is buried in Moscow.
Yes, in the Novodevichy. Imagine. I'm already beginning to forget her face. Just as we won't be remembered either, they'll forget us.
Yes, they'll forget us. But as our faith can't be helped. What seems to us serious, significant, highly important. Yeah, the time will come when it'll be forgotten or seem unimportant.
Who knows? Perhaps our life will be called superior and remembered with respect. Nowadays there are no tortures, no executions, no invasions. Though for all that, there's so much happiness.
Chick, 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 chick. Don't feed the barren grain. Just let him philosophize.
Vasily Vasilyevich, I beg you to leave me alone. After all, it's tiresome.
Chick, 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 chick.
Oh. You have a musician in the house.
It's Andrei playing, our brother.
He's the learned member of the family. It looks as if he'd be a professor. Father was a military man, but his son chose for himself a learned career.
According to father's wish. Today we teased him to death. It seems he's a bit in love.
With a local girl. She'll be with us today. There's every chance of it.
Huh?
Oh, how she dresses. Not merely ugly and out of style, but simply pitiful. And her cheeks are scrubbed. But scrubbed? Oh, Andrei isn't in love. I won't admit it. After all, he has taste. He's simply teasing us. He's fooling. I heard yesterday that she's marrying Protopopov, the chairman of the board, and that's fine. Andrei, come here. Darling, just for a moment.
You should remember Andrei. He's the oldest.
Yes? What is it?
This is my brother, Andrei Sergeyevich.
Reshinin.
Krasorov. You are our new battery commander?
Can you imagine? Colonel Reshinin is from Moscow.
Yes? Well, now my little sisters won't give you any peace.
Oh, I've already had time to tire your sisters out.
Andrei is not only our learned one. He also plays the violin. He saws various things out of wood. In sum, he has a hand for anything.
Well, I'm...
Andrei, don't go away.
Andrei, come back.
No, the way he does, he's always leaving. Come here.
Come.
Oh, let me alone, please.
Oh, dear, how funny he is. Colonel Machinian used to be called the lovesick major, and he didn't get a bit angry.
Not a bit.
And I want to call you the lovesick violinist.
Or the lovesick professor.
He's in love. Andrushka's in love.
Bravo, bravo, Andrushka's in love.
Well, what along did nature put us in this world? Well, that's enough. That's enough. I haven't slept all night, and now I'm not myself, as they say. Till 4 o'clock I read, then lay down, but nothing happened. I thought of this and of that. Then, of course, at the crack of dawn here, the sun swarms into my bedroom. During the summer, while I'm here, I want to translate a certain book from English.
Oh, you read English?
Yes. Our father, bless his soul, loaded us down with education. It's ridiculous and stupid. But all the same, I must admit, that a year after his death, I began to fill out and get fat like this, as if my body were freed from the load. Thanks to father, my sisters and I know the French, German, and English languages. And Irina knows Italian, too. But at what a cost.
In this town, to know 3 languages is an unnecessary luxury. Oh, we know a lot that's useless.
Oh, there you have it. You know a lot that's useless. It seems to me there's not and can't be a town so boring and dull that a clever, educated person would be unnecessary in it. Let's suppose that among the 100,000 inhabitants of this town, which obviously is backward and crude, there are only 3 such people as you. Well, it's obvious that you can't triumph over the dark masses that surround you. In the course of your life, you'll have to yield, little by little, and be lost in the crowd of 100,000. Life will stifle you. But just the same, you'll still be there, and not without influence. Your kind after you will begin to appear. 6, perhaps, then 12, and so on, until finally, your kind will get to be the majority.
After 200 or 300 years, life on Earth will be unimaginably beautiful, wonderful. Man needs such a life. If it isn't here yet, he must anticipate it. Wait. Dream of it. Be prepared for it. For it, he must see and know more than his grandfather and father saw and knew. And you complain of knowing a lot that's useless.
I think I'll stay for lunch after all.
Really, all that should be written down.
After many years, you say life on Earth will be beautiful, wonderful. That's true. But to share it now, even from afar, we must prepare ourselves for it, must work.
I often think of what might happen if we began life anew and did it consciously. If one life already lived through had been, as it were, the first draft, and the other the final copy, then each of us, I think, would try, above all things, not to repeat himself. At least he would create for himself a different setting for his life. He'd arrange for himself an apartment such as this, with flowers and a flood of light. I have a wife and 2 girls, and my wife is a delicate lady, and so forth and so on. Well, if I were to begin life anew, I'd never marry. No, no.
Good day. Good day.
Oh, here is Fyodor. Fyodor Kulig, and that's our Masha's husband, Colonel Vashilin.
My dear sister Irina, allow me to congratulate you on your saint's day, and then to present you with this book as a gift. A history of our high school, covering 50 years, written out of nothing else to do. But all the same, you must read it. Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, this is Colonel Vashilin, Fyodor.
How do you do? I am Kulig, teacher in the local high school, county counselor.
How do you do?
In this book, my dear Irina, you will find a list of all the graduates of our high school for the last 50 years. Basi quad potui, patient meliore potenti.
But you've already given me a book like that at Easter.
It couldn't be. In that case, give it back. Or better still, give it to the colonel. Take it, colonel. Read it sometimes when you're bored.
Thank you.
Today is Sunday, gentlemen. A day of rest. Let us rest. Let us be gay. Each one according to his age and position. The Ralph should be taken up for the summer and stored till winter. Persian powder or naphthalene. The Romans were healthy because they knew how to work, knew how to rest. They had mens sana in corpore sano. Masha, my dear, embrace me. Masha loves me. My wife loves me. And the window curtains, too. They should be stored away together with the rugs. Today I am gay, in a splendid mood. Masha, at 4 o'clock today we are to be at the director's. There's a walk being arranged for the teachers and their families.
I'm not going.
Dear Masha, why?
Oh, later on about that. Never mind. All right, I'll go. Just leave me alone, please.
And then we'll spend the evening at the director's. In spite of his sickly state of health, this man tries above all else to be sociable. A superior, bright personality. A magnificent man. Yesterday, after the teachers' conference, he says to me, I am tired, Fyodor Ilyich. I am tired. Your clock is 7 minutes fast. Yes, he says. I am tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, come to lunch, please. There's a meat pie. Oh, come along.
Meat pie, splendid.
Oh, at last there's something to make you put aside that new sofa, Dr. Ivan. Only look out, nothing to drink today, do you hear? Think he's bad for you.
Oh, go on, I'm past all that. It's 2 years that I've not been on a drunk.
All the same, don't you dare drink, don't you dare. The devil take it. To be bored again all evening long at the director's.
I wouldn't go if I were in your place. It's very simple.
Oh, yes. Don't go. Cursed, unbearable life.
Your
health, Colonel. I am a pedagogue. And here in this house, I'm one of the family. Marcia's husband. She is kind, very kind.
I'll have some of that dark vodka. Your health.
Ha! Thank you.
Marcia's in a bad humor today. She got married at 18 when he seemed to her the most intelligent of men. But now it's not the same. He's the kindest, but not the most intelligent.
What are you thinking about?
This. I dislike and I'm afraid of that Captain Solioni of yours. He talks nothing but nonsense.
He's a strange person. I'm both sorry for him and annoyed, but more sorry. He seems to be shy. When the two of us are alone, he's very clever and gentle sometimes. But in company, he's a crude fellow, a bully. Oh, don't go away, Irina. Let them get settled at the table. Let me be near you a while. What are you thinking about? You are 20, I'm not yet 30. How many years there are left for us ahead? A long, long row of days full of my love for you.
Nikolai, don't talk to me of love.
I have a passionate thirst for life, struggle, work. And that thirst is mingled in my soul with love for you, Irina. And it's as though it were by some design that you are beautiful. And life seems beautiful to me because of you. What are you thinking about?
You say life is beautiful. Yes. But what if it only seems so? With us three sisters, life hasn't yet been beautiful. It stifled us as weeds through grass. Oh, I'm letting my tears fall. I shouldn't do that. We must work, work. That's why we're not happy and look at life so gloomily. We don't know anything about work. We come of people who despise work.
Come in, come in. They are already sitting down to lunch.
Oh, dear, there's Andrei's friend Natalia. I hope she wouldn't come.
Dear Lorena, I congratulate you. You've so many guests, I really feel shy. Oh, how do you do, Baron?
Well, and here is Natalia. Good day, my dear.
Good day, Olga. Congratulations on the safe day. You have so much company, I really feel all
the never mind, it's just the family.
Oh, you have on a green belt. My dear, that's not right.
Well, is it a sign of something?
No, it just doesn't match, and somehow it looks odd.
Yes, well, it's not really green. It's more of a neutral color.
Oh, but come along. Lunch is served. Come, Irina, Nikolai.
Sit here, Irina. I wish you, Irina, a good fiancée. Time you were married.
Natalia Ivanovna, I wish you a fiancé, too.
Natalia Ivanovna already has a fiancé.
I'll take a little drink. Good the devil. Life is all roses. I'll risk it.
Your conduct gets C-minus, Marsha. Ah, this liqueur tastes good. What's it made of?
Cockroaches.
Captain Soglioni, how disgusting.
André. You know that for love alone did nature put us in this world?
Stop it, everybody. Aren't you tired of it?
By the curved seashore, green oak, a golden chain upon that oak, a golden chain upon...
Why do I say that? Oh, that phrase is stuck in my mind ever since morning.
Why, Natalia Ivanovna, you'd be embarrassed. I simply can't understand.
Natalia, wait.
Love, love. That's what makes the world go round.
Come on, Natalia. Don't pay any attention to them. Wait. Stop. I beg you.
What a shame. I don't know what it's all about. They're all making fun of me. Oh, it was bad manners for me to leave the table just now. But I can't. I can't.
My dear, I beg you. I entreat you. Don't be upset. I assure you, they're only joking. They're kind hearts. My darling, my beautiful, they're all gentle, kind-hearted people, and they love me and you. Come over here to the window. They can't see us yet.
I'm so used to being in society.
Are you wonderful, beautiful you? My dear, my darling, don't be upset. Believe me, believe I feel so happy. My soul is full of love, ecstasy. Oh, they can't see us. They can't see us. Why did I fall in love with you? When did I fall in love? Oh, I don't understand any of it. My dear, darling, pure one, be my wife. I love you, love as nobody ever loved you before, I assure you.
So poor André married his Natalia and brought her to live with us. And all our ambitious hopes for him were broken. And our fond dream of returning to Moscow was farther away from realization. I obtained a job at the telegraph office, eagerly trying to find in work some meaning to the dull life I was leading. But soon my eagerness was stifled by the tiresome monotony of the work. A year and more dragged by. A child was born to Andrei and Natalia, a boy, Bobik they called him. And already Andrei was bored with his Natalia. Vulgar, annoying Natalia, silly with her pretenses of a culture she would never possess, busily prying into our affairs, little by little usurping the direction of our household, always talking, talking, talking.
Andrusha, what are you doing? Reading. It's nothing. If there's a light...
You what, Natasha?
Looking to see if there's a light. Now it's carnival week. The servants are beside themselves.
We have to look and look so that nothing goes wrong. Last night at midnight, I passed through the dining room and a candle was burning there. Who lighted it, I couldn't find out.
Oh, what time is it?
It's 8:15.
And Algernolina aren't in yet. Oh, they haven't come. Always working, poor girls. I'll get the teacher's consularina at the telegraph office. This morning I say to your sister, spare yourself, I say, Alina, darling. But she won't listen. 8:15, you say? I'm anxious for fear our Bobbick isn't at all well. Why is he so cold? Yesterday he had fever and today he's cold all over. I'm so anxious.
Oh, it's nothing, Natasha. The boy's all right.
Still, it's better to put him on a diet. I'm anxious. And tonight around 10:00, they said, the maskers will be here. Oh, it would be better if they didn't come, Aunt Lucia.
Really, I don't know, but they were invited.
This morning the little fellow wakes up and looks at me, and all at once he smiled. He knew me. Bobbick, I said, good morning. Good morning, dear. And he laughed. Oh, children understand. They understand perfectly. So, Andrusha, I'll tell them not to let the maskers in.
But that's for my sisters to say. Their mistress is here.
I'll tell them. Oh, they're so kind. Bobbick is cold. I'm afraid he may be cold in that room of his. We ought to... Well, at least till warm weather comes, put him in a different room. For instance, the Irina's room is just right for the child. It's dry and sunny, too, all day long. I must tell her. For a while, at least, she could be in the same room with Olga. Well, and, Drusha, why don't you say something?
I was just thinking. Besides, there's nothing to talk about.
Oh, yes. There's something I wanted to tell you. Old Felipor's just come from the district board. He's asking for you.
Call him in.
Come in, you, and mind your boots are clean.
Yes, ma'am.
I think I hear Bobbick calling. Oh, I must see if he's covered. I'll speak to Arena about her room.
Good evening, Felipor. What have you got to say?
The chairman has sent you a book and a paper of some kind. Here.
Thanks. Good. Why did you come so late? It's 8:00 now.
How's that?
I say you came late. It's now 8:00.
Exactly. I got here when it was still light, but they all wouldn't let me in. The master, they said, is busy. How's that?
Nothing. Tomorrow is Friday. We haven't any school. But all the same, I've come. Just to be doing something. Oh, it's tiresome at home. Dear Grandpa, how strangely it changes. How life deceives one. Today, out of boredom, out of nothing else to do, I picked up this book here. Old university lectures. And I felt like laughing. My God, I'm the secretary of the district board. Me, a member of the local district board. I who dream every night that I'm a professor in Moscow University, a famous scholar whom the Russian land is proud of.
I wouldn't know. Don't hear well.
If you could hear well, I might not have talked to you. I must talk to somebody. My wife doesn't understand me, and I'm afraid of my sister somehow. I'm afraid they will laugh at me, make me ashamed. I don't drink, don't like bars, but with what pleasure I could be sitting right now, old fellow, in Moscow at Testos or in the Bolshoi Moskovsky.
And in Moscow? So a contractor was saying the other day at the district board, some merchants were eating blini. One of them, it seems, ate 40 blinis and died. It was either 40 or 50. I wouldn't remember.
You sit in Moscow in a huge room at a restaurant. You don't know anybody and nobody knows you. But at the same time, you don't feel like a stranger. And here you know everybody and everybody knows you. But you're a stranger. A stranger. Stranger and lonely.
How's that? Oh, and the same contractor was saying, maybe he was lying, that a rope is stretched all the way across Moscow.
What for?
I wouldn't know. The contractor said so.
Fiddlesticks. Were you ever in Moscow?
Never was. God didn't grant me that. Shall I go?
You may go. Goodbye.
Up tomorrow morning and get these papers.
Thank you.
used to think of marriage as the romantic goal of every girl's life. And here was poor André sick to death of it after little more than a year. It is no wonder I could not find it in my heart to yield to the constant pleas of Nikolai Tusenbach. Dear, devoted Nikolai, faithfully calling for me each evening at the telegraph office to escort me home, his plain, honest face revealing the love he would not trouble to hide. I was beginning to fear marriage. Well, there was not only the example of André, there was Masha, too. I had long known she hated her husband. But now I was worried about her and Colonel Vershinin. They were always together. They took no pains to hide it. Time and again he brought her to our apartment. They seemed to have much in common to talk about.
Yes, but it seems to me it's all the same. Whether they're civilian or military, they're equally uninteresting. If you listen to one of the local intelligentsia, civilian or military, what you hear is that he's worn out with his wife, worn out with his home, worn out with his estate, worn out with his horses. The Russian is quite supremely given to lofty ways in thought, but will you tell me why it is that in life he strikes so low?
You're not in very good humor today.
Perhaps. I haven't had any dinner today, nothing to eat since morning. One of my daughters is not very well, and when my girls are ailing, I'm seized with anxiety, and my conscience torments me for having given them such a mother. If you'd seen her today, what a miserable creature. We began to quarrel at 7 o'clock in the morning, and at 9 I slammed the door and went out. I never speak of it, and strangely enough, I complain just to you. Don't be angry with me. But for you, I'd not have anybody. Nobody.
What a noise in the stove. At home, just before Father died, there was howling in the chimney. There. Just like that.
Are you superstitious?
Yes.
That's strange. You're a magnificent, wonderful woman. Magnificent. Wonderful. It's dark in here, but I can see the sparkle of your eyes.
Better. Better light the light.
I love. 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 I love your eyes. Your gestures.
Oh.
I see them in my dreams. Magnificent, wonderful woman.
When you talk to me like that, for some reason or other, I laugh, although I'm frightened. Oh, don't do it again. I beg you. But talk. Talk, though, Alexander. Talk.
Some words I read once. I don't remember where. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day. That's how the next year or so went by. My work grew even more tiresome. Poor Nikolai was ever devoted to me, but I could not bring myself to marry him. Then one evening, when by a strange chance we happened to be alone, Captain Soglioni tried to make love to me. His awkward but ardent pleas only struck a chill note of revulsion in me. I asked him to leave the house. And I began to fear him more than ever. He seemed to be jealous of Nikolai. And then Natasha and Andrei had another child, a girl this time. But they were farther apart than ever. Natasha spent many hours with the ridiculous Protopopov, the chairman of the district board. And the whole town was buzzing with a scandal. It was more than I could bear. And I remember while talking with Olga one night, I broke down completely.
There, dear. Rest your head on my lap. You're tired, completely worn out.
How small our André has grown. How he has dried up and aged beside that woman. There was a time when he was preparing for a professorship. And yesterday he was bragging that at last he could become a member of the board and Protopopov chairman. The whole town's talking is laughing. And he's the only one who sees nothing and knows nothing. He sits there in his room and pays not the least attention to it. He just plays the violin. Oh, it's awful, awful. I,
I can't bear it. I can't bear it anymore. I can't.
Darling.
Oh, God. Where is it all gone? Where is it? Oh, my God. My God. I've forgotten everything. I've forgotten. It's muddled in my head. I don't remember what an Italian window is or the ceiling there. I'm forgetting everything every day, forgetting. And life slips away and we'll never return. Never. We'll never go to Moscow. I can see we'll never go.
Oh, darling. Darling.
Oh, I'm miserable. I can't work. I won't work.
I'm sick of it. Sick of it. I was a telegraph operator, and now I have a place with the town board, and I hate and despise everything they give me to do. I'm going on 24. I've already been working a long time, and my brain's drying up. I'm getting thin, I'm losing my looks, I'm getting old, and there's nothing, nothing, not satisfaction of any kind. And time is passing, and it all seems to be moving away from any real beautiful life. All moving away farther and farther into some abyss. Oh, I'm in despair. And how it is I'm alive, how it is I haven't killed myself, I can't understand. Don't cry, my own little girl. Don't cry.
I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm sick of it. Now look, I'm not crying. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Darling, I'm telling you as a sister, as a friend, if you want my advice, marry the bearer. While you respect him, you value him highly. It's true, he's not good-looking, but he's so decent and clean. Why, one doesn't marry for love, but to do one's duty. At least I think so. And I'd marry without being in love. At any rate, I'd marry anyone who proposed to me, so long as he was an honorable man. I'd marry even an old man.
I kept expecting us to move to Moscow. There I'd meet my real beloved. I dreamed of him, Olya, loved him. But it turned out just foolishness. Just foolishness.
Dear lovely sister, I understand it all. When Vera Nikolai Lvovich left the military service and came to see us in his civilian clothes, it seemed to me so homely that I even cried.
Yes, why are you crying?
How could I tell him? But if God should grant he married you, I'd be happy.
Olga, did you hear? They're taking the brigade away from us. Transferring it somewhere far away.
That's only a rumor.
We'll be left alone then. Olga.
Yes?
Darling, precious. I respect, I value the Baron. He's a marvelous person. I'll marry him, I consent. Only let's go to Moscow. I beg you, let's go. There's nothing in the world better than Moscow. Let's go, Olga, let's go. At last, I was to marry Nikolai. He'd gotten himself a job at the brickyard, and I had passed my examination and was to start teaching at the school. With it all, I was looking forward to a new start. But then came the news that the brigade was definitely leaving Voskresensk. Well, it made us sad. We would have to say goodbye to so many good friends. Finally, the day of departure came. I remember I was sitting on the terrace with Masha's husband and dear old Dr. Ivan. Brother Andrei was wheeling the new baby in his carriage in the yard. Inside the house were Colonel Vershinian, Captain Soryoni, and Nikolai and Natasha saying farewell. I remember saying to Dr. Ivan, Ivan Romanich, my own darling, I'm terribly disturbed. You were on the boulevard yesterday. Tell me what happened there.
What happened? Nothing.
The fiddlesticks.
What they are saying is that Soryoni and the Baron met yesterday on the boulevard near the theater.
Stop it. The fiddlesticks.
Near the theater. Soryoni began picking on the Baron, and he wouldn't tolerate it. He said something insulting.
It's all nonsense.
Somehow everything frightens me today. I've everything all ready. After dinner, I'm sending off my things. The Baron and I are getting married tomorrow. Tomorrow we are leaving for the brickyard. The day after tomorrow I'll be at the school. A new life is beginning. Somehow God will help me. When I passed my teacher's examination, I cried for pure joy. So so happy. The cart will soon be here for my things.
My darling, my dear child, my treasure. You're gone far away. I can't catch up with you. I'm left behind like a bed of passage that has grown old that can't fly. Fly on, my dears, fly on, and God be with you. It's too bad, Fyodor Ilyich, you shaved off your mustache.
That's enough for you.
Elena, this is the Olga's here.
The headmistress has arrived. Let's go in.
Are you coming, Doctor? Yes.
No, I'll wait here. Tararabondie. Sit on the curb, I say. Andrei, wheel your carriage up here. I want to talk. Is the child asleep?
Yes. I hope they'll be quiet in there. Such noise they've been making.
Oh, they'll be gone soon. And I tomorrow.
For good?
I don't know. I might return in a year, though the devil knows. What's it matter? It's all the same.
Town will be empty, if they had covered it with a cowl. Something happened yesterday near the theater. Everybody's talking about it. I don't know what it was.
Nothing. Nonsense. Salione began to pick on the Baron, and he lost his temper and insulted him, and it got finally to the point where Salione had to challenge him to a duel. It's time now, I believe. Half past 12 in the State Forest there. Who can we see from here beyond the river? The presence of the doctor has been requested. Salione imagines he is Lamontov and even writes verses. Now, jokes are jokes, but it is the third duel for him.
For whom?
For Salione.
For the Baron?
It's best.
I say it shouldn't be allowed. He might wound the Baron. Even kill him.
Well, the Baron is a good man, but one Baron more, one less. What's it matter, isn't it? All the same. Let them. All the same.
Our house will be empty. The officers will go. You will go. My sister will be married. I'll be left alone in the house.
And your wife?
A wife is a wife. She's honest, decent, well, kind. But along with all that, there's something in her that reduces her to the level of some sort of petty, blind, coarse animal. In any case, she's not a human being. I say this to you as a friend, the only man I can open my soul to. I love Natasha, it's true, but at times she seems to me amazingly vulgar. And then I lose my wits. I don't understand what for or why I love her, so I at least did love her.
Brother,
so
I'm going away tomorrow. We may never see each other again. So here is my advice to you. You know, put on your hat, take a walking stick in your hands, and be off. Be off and go. Go without looking back, and the farther you get, the better.
Doctor, it's time. 12:30.
Directly. If anyone asks for me, Andrusha, say that I... directly.
Look at the flash. The bear made a dash. Why are you grunting, old man?
Oh, get out.
How is your health?
Smooth as butter.
Old man, you're needlessly upset. I'd indulge myself a little. I'll only wing him like a snipe.
They should be stopped. Dueling is immoral.
Master, here are the papers from the board meeting for you to sign.
The devil with them.
But Andrei Sergeyevich, the papers aren't mine. They're official. I didn't think them up.
Oh, where is it? Where has gone my past when I was young and gay and clever? When my dreams and thoughts were full of grace and the present and future bright with hope? Why is it that when we have barely begun to live, we grow dull, gray, uninteresting, lazy, indifferent, useless, unhappy? We just eat, drink, sleep, and then die. Others are born and they too eat, drink, sleep, and to keep from sinking into the torpor of boredom, vary their lives with foul gossip, vodka, cards, chicanery, and the wives deceive the husbands while the husbands lie, pretend not to see anything, hear anything, and an unavoidable banal influence weighs on the children, and the divine spark dies in them, and they become just as pitiful, identical corpses as their fathers and mothers were.
Master,
what do you want?
Eh? Oh, the papers to sign.
I've had enough of you.
Who's talking so loud out there? Is it you, Andrusha? You'll wake little Sophie. If you want to talk, give the carriage and the child to somebody else. Teleport, take the carriage from your master.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm speaking low.
Bobbick. Oh, mischievous Bobbick. Naughty Bobbick. What's Mama's name? Tell me. Tell Mama, darling.
Wait, Ferapont. I'll walk with you and look through those papers, and you can take them back to the board.
Who is this, Bobby? This is Auntie Olga. Thank you, Auntie. How do you do, Olga?
Wait, where are you going, Nikolai?
I have to go to town to see my comrades off.
It's not true. Nikolai, why are you so distraught today? What happened yesterday near the theater?
In an hour I'll be back and we'll be with you again. Oh, my beloved. It's 5 years now that I've loved you. And somehow I can't get used to it. And you seem always more beautiful to me. What lovely, wonderful hair. What eyes. I'll take you away tomorrow. We will work, we'll be rich. My dreams will come true. You shall be happy. Only there's one thing. One thing. You don't love me.
That's not in my power. I'll be your wife, faithful and obedient. But it's not love. What is there to do? I've never been in love. Not once in my life. Oh, I've dreamed so of love. I've dreamed of it a long time now, day and night. But my soul is like some fine piano that's locked and the key lost. You have a restless look.
I haven't slept all night. I must go now. It's time. Look. There's a tree that's dead, but it still waves with the others in the wind. So it seems to me, even if I die, I'll still share in life somehow or other. Goodbye, my dearest. The papers you gave me are lying on my table under the calendar.
But I'm going with you.
No, no, no. I'll be back soon. Irina.
What?
I didn't drink any coffee today. Tell them so that they'll make me some. Goodbye.
We're going now, Olga Sergeyevna. It's time. Well, I wish you everything. Where's Masha?
She's somewhere in the garden, Colonel Vershinin. I'll go and look for her.
Oh, kindly. I'm in a hurry. Well, everything has its end. And here we are, parting.
Are we ever to see each other again?
Most likely not. My wife and my two girls are leaving here in about 2 months. Please, if anything happens, if anything is needed...
Yes, of course. Be sure of that. Now, why doesn't Masha come?
Well, what else can I say to you as we part? What shall I philosophize about? Life is difficult. It presents itself to many of us as blank and hopeless, and yet one must admit it gets always clearer and easier. And the day is not far off, apparently, when it'll be wholly bright.
Oh, there she comes.
Irina said you were waiting.
I came to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
No. Write to me. Don't forget me. Let me go. It's time. Olga Sergeyevna, take her. I'm late already. It's time. Late. I must go. Goodbye.
There, Masha. Stop, darling.
There's a curse, Bisho. The green oak, the golden chain upon that oak. The golden chain upon that oak. It's going out of my mind. The curse, Bisho, the green oak. Be calm, Masha. Be calm. I'm not crying anymore. There's a curse, seashore, a green oak, a golden chain upon that oak. The cat's green, the oak's green. I'm mixing it up. My life is a failure. I don't want anything now. I'll soon be calm. It's all the same. Oh. What does it mean by the curved seashore? Why does that word keep running through my head? My thoughts are all mixed up.
Has Colonel Vershinin gone?
Yes. Oh, be calm, Masha.
Now, that's a good girl. Let's go in.
No, I'm not going in there. I don't go in that house anymore. I won't go in now. Let's sit down together just quietly. Well, tomorrow I'm going away.
Listen. They're leaving. The brigade is leaving.
Our friends are going. Well, then, pleasant journey to them.
I must go home.
Yes, now we can all go home. It's time.
Olga Sergeyevna. Olga Sergeyevna.
Yes?
What is it?
Nothing. Don't know how to tell you. Yoli.
Oh, that's not possible.
Yes. What a story. I'm tired, completely exhausted. Don't want to talk anymore. How much it matter? It's all the same.
What happened? Oh, Rena. It's a terrible day today. I don't know how to tell you, my darling.
What? Say it quick. What? For God's sake.
The Baron was killed just now in a duel. What?
I knew.
I'm tired. Oh. Don't let them cry. Sit on a cab, I say. As if it mattered. As if it weren't all the same.
Oh, how the music is playing. They're leaving us. One has gone entirely. Entirely. Forever. We'll be left alone to begin our life over again. We must live. We must live.
The time will come when we will know why all this is. What these sufferings are for. There will be no secrets. But meanwhile, we must live. We must work, only work. Tomorrow, I'm going away alone. I'll teach in the school. And give my whole life to those who need it, perhaps. It's autumn now. Winter will soon come and cover everything with snow. And I'll work. Work.
The music plays so gaily, bravely. And one wants to live. Oh, Lord. Time will pass. We shall be gone forever. They will forget us. They'll forget our faces, voices, and how many of us there were. But our sufferings will turn into joy for those who will come living after us. Happiness and peace will come on earth. And they'll remember with some gentle words those who live now, and will bless them. Oh, dear sister, our life isn't over yet. We shall live. The music plays so gaily, so joyously. And it looks as if in a little while we shall know why we live, why we suffer. If we only knew. If we only knew.
Sit on a cab, I may. What's it matter? It's all the same.
If we only knew. If we only knew.
So ends the story of The Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov, adapted for radio by Lester O'Keefe from the Stark Young translation. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company. A drama guide giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University Press, New York City. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Next week at the same hour, Peleus and Melisande by Maurice Maeterlinck will be presented. The cast today was as follows. Irina, Olive Deering, Olga, Donna Earle, Masha, Elaine Dumas, Andre, Stefan Schnabel, Natasha, Dorothy Matthews, Theodore Kulyigin, Murray O'Neill, Colonel Vershinian, Morris Karnofsky, Aaron Tusenbach, Walter Slezak, Dr. Chibutikin, Mark Smith, Captain Solioni, Harold Vermillier, Anfisa, Dorothy Assadier, and Ferrapont, J. Malcolm Dunn. The orchestra was under the musical direction of Joseph Haunty. The special musical score was composed by Tom Bennett. This is the National Broadcasting Company.